Good morning, everyone. This is John Alls, and I want to welcome you to the broadcast this morning. You know, last week we talked to Pastor Reynolds about a tract that he had written called What is an Independent Baptist Church? And we hope that we're able to answer some of the questions that you've had about exactly what it means to be an independent Baptist church. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to attend services with us and to get to know us on more of a personal level. We are located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. And we have Sunday and Wednesday services. The Sunday services start at 10 a.m. with Sunday school, followed by worship services at 11. And then starting again at 4 o'clock, we'll have a prayer meeting and 4:30 worship services. And then, of course, on Wednesday nights, we also have a 7 o'clock Bible study. And as I mentioned before, you're free to come and join us for any of these services, and we look forward to being able to meet with you and to visit with you on a more personal level. Well, for the radio broadcast today, Pastor Reynolds will be teaching on the topic of what will you give in exchange for your soul. So if you have your Bible, please follow along as Pastor Reynolds reads out of Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27.
The book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 27 reads, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. It's very important that each of us realize and understand that we can save our life or lose it. We can save our life by losing our life unto Christ, or we can lose our life by saving our life for ourselves. To illustrate this, Jesus Christ, in this passage we read, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 27, had just finished telling his disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and that he would be killed, and that he would be raised again on the third day. Then it was Peter began to rebuke Jesus Christ, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Jesus Christ then turned and said to Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus Christ desires 100% compliance with God's eternal will. Peter at that point just simply didn't understand that 100% was required. Peter was like a lot of folks today, I think, that believe that God can take about half and half sometimes, and then sometimes we can just do everything for us, and the next time we'll do everything for Him. And people are that way today. Many folks today believe that you don't have to give 100% to God. After all, we are human and we need some things down here. But listen, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came only to do the will of His Father. And Jesus Christ suffered and died at the hand of wicked sinners because that was His Father's will. And Jesus never complained about it. But Jesus was fully compliant with the will of His Father, and Jesus expects His servants to be 100% compliant with the will of the Father as well. We need to understand the difference between the temporal and the eternal, as Paul stated in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. But here's the thing. We're living in a world when men believe it's just wrong to have to endure any kind of suffering. Oftentimes men have the idea that suffering is beneath them. We're living in a time when self is more important than anyone else. But notice Jesus Christ said in verse 25 of Matthew 16, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." He talks about the profit that a man has if he gains the entire world, but he loses his own soul. And he asked the question, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The most valuable thing any person possesses is his soul, is his eternity, is his life. And what will you give in exchange? Remember this, that every one of us are going to be judged by God for our life. He's going to judge us for the things that we do and the things that we don't do. But let me ask you this morning, would you give an eternity in hell if you could have everything that this world has to offer? Would you give an eternity in hell? Jesus Christ believed it was more important to do the will of his Father than anything else, even suffering, even going to the cross. Would you give your soul? Would you give your life for the things of God? Or will you hold back and not give those things? Remember this, the book of Luke chapter 17, verse 32 and 33 records, remember, Lot's wife. "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." What do you think about Lot's wife? Did she save her life or did she lose it? Think about Lot's wife, who lost everything that this world had to offer. She lost everything she had gained in this world when she disobeyed the Lord, because her heart was not in serving God. Her heart was back in the cities of Sodom. Her heart was back there with those possessions and all of those things. She would not obey the command of God. Instead, turned. When God said, "Don't turn," and God said, "Don't look back," Mrs. Lot turned and looked back at the burning cities of the plain, and there became a pillar of salt. She lost everything. What will happen to you? It's a serious thing. You see, it's not just what men say. It is what God says in His Word. And I know today there's a lot of different philosophies that go around about this and that. But God's Word is more important than any of those things. The Bible states in the book of James, chapter 5, and verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." You think about this, how that Job was a man whom we look back and admire, but he suffered things for the Lord, even being accused of wrongdoing by his three so-called friends. But Job was found faithful unto the Lord. You think of this. Daniel is a man who continued to pray after he knew the writing was signed by King Darius and that he would be cast into the den of lions. Daniel counted the cost, and Daniel determined he was going to do what God told him to do regardless. He was going to lose his life if necessary. We count Daniel happy, don't we? But today, people don't want to lose their lives for the cause of Christ. Instead, people want to gain money. People want to gain power and prestige and all of those things. Many people are even giving their jobs for their souls. But I would say to you, if you give your life, if you give the strength of the energy of your youth, your middle age and your old age to the things of God, God will bless you abundantly above and more than you could ever imagine that He would give. There are those that let their light shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And God gives them rewards. And yet there are others, like the Pharisees, who pray in public to be seen of men, and they lose it all. There are those like the Pharisees who fast in the sight of men, but not before God, and lose it all. What will you do? You need to be honest before God, because God sees our heart. God sees the motive behind why we do what we do. There are some people that are afraid of what others will say. Is that you? Are you afraid of what others will say about you? Think of this. Joseph of Arimathea, the Bible tells us, was a secret disciple for fear of the Jews. But there came a day when Joseph of Arimathea stood up against his fears and stood for God. In the book of John, chapter 19, verse 38, the Bible says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus." Nicodemus, the one that came to Christ by night, was also a secret disciple because of fear. The Bible records that in the book of John, chapter 7, verse 45. Through verse 53. So there are pressures. There's no doubt about that. We all face those pressures. But it comes down to a personal decision. Will you stand out for God? Will you answer the challenge given by Joshua in chapter 24 in verse 15, where Joshua challenged the Israelites and said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Moses was a man who endured much suffering and affliction. The Bible states in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, who by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If we look back, we would say that Moses was indeed happy, because he suffered the afflictions of God. And yet, many today refuse to be happy in the long run because they choose instead the wealth of this world. But remember this. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 18 through 23, records that all of our wealth will be left to another. The only way we can have any wealth taken into eternity, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, is that we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven and not upon the earth. Think about it, folks. What will you give in exchange for your soul? I pray that God would touch you with a message and that you might be found faithful to God, knowing that the judgment of God is soon to come.
You know, as Pastor Reynolds was teaching today, I couldn't help but think of a couple things. You know, the first thing that came to mind was people's reaction when you talk to them about the fact that we've got church service in the morning, church service in the afternoon, church service on Wednesday night. You know, and we've heard people say before that, you know, you can't believe you go to church that much. You know, you'll hear things like, "Well, I'd go Sunday morning, but, you know, hey, Sunday afternoon, that's mine." When I hear stuff like this, I can't help but think about the song, "I Gave My Life for Thee." You know, and that song, if you've ever heard it, it kind of slowly over several verses talks about what Christ has done for us, how he came and he gave his life for us. You know, and at the end of each verse, it asks, "What have you given for me?" Christ gave up his place in glory. He came down here to be mistreated by the very people he was saving from hell. He did it willingly and in spite of the way people treated him. Yet so many times people aren't even willing to attend church services for a few hours each week. So as Joshua asked the children of Israel, let me now ask you personally, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Well, our time for today is up, but we want to thank you for attending, and we want to remind you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.